all the time. So, hey, Pete, happy birthday. Good day. Good day. That's pretty awesome. Break the other leg. All right, thanks, Pete. His name means dog in Spanish. So, yeah, Pedro. Right, we tease him. Hey, so today is a very special day where we get to share and hear what's been happening in the lives of some of our people and how they have had the opportunity to share the love of Jesus in different parts of the world. And so I want to begin with a note that was hand-delivered to me today by Brian and Jackie. They brought coffee. If you've had anybody have some coffee this morning when you're here? Yeah, so you're drinking. Mike's on round three. All right, good job, Mike. And so I don't need to have another cup there. Okay, this is what this is from TJ and Stella Eiswald. These are Brian and Jackie went to visit them in Papua New Guinea, and so they sent this note. It says, "Hello from Papua New Guinea. Thank you so much for your generosity and all the ways your support will help us. We are so grateful to have you all on our ministry team, and know that you are in our corner. We have had a wonderful visit with Brian and Jackie. Thanks for letting us borrow them away for a little while," which has been, we did miss them, okay? "And so we really feel privileged to be here supporting the churches and communities of this beautiful country. You all are a part of making that possible, so thank you. We want to share just a little taste of PNG with you. PNG stands for Papua New Guinea, okay? It is our favorite locally grown and roasted coffee. We brew it almost every day and hope that you enjoy it too." And so that's pretty awesome that TJ and Stella had a great experience with you guys there. They had an awesome experience, and I'm excited that they'll get to share with you. This is Brian and Jackie, and they're coming forward. Now, who am I giving this to this time? It's her. Okay, there we go. Is it on? My bad. Operator. There we go. I fixed it. There we go.
Great.
Okay.
Good morning. We're Jackie and Brian Eiswald. Our son, TJ, who is our oldest son, wanted to be a missionary since he was 7, and at 12, he knew he was going to fly when he did it. So he's a helicopter missionary in PNG, and we got to spend the whole month of July with them over there enjoying our time. When you see the pictures flip through, you're going to see that's the airplane we landed there, and that's their house, and you're going to see just what we saw when we were there, the different scenery, my grandkids, all the fun things, and we'll let you flip through that and look at that as we share things that we were able to do. Brian and I have gone on mission trips before, and we really believe in going alongside the missionaries and stepping in, helping them, so it allows them to do what they need to do. So Brian and I did a lot of dishes for 3.5 weeks, and a lot of cooking and baking and things with the kids. And then I even got to teach my granddaughters how to sew with the sew machine. They made some doll overalls and some dresses for them, and their dolls and everything. And so we had a really good time of sharing and being with them and enjoying the time that we spent with them, just with family. TJ's a helicopter pilot, but Stella's gotten busy on site too. She works in a medical facility, a clinic, and she also helps at the school. So she's made a name for herself and all the kids. Of all, they're doing really good, and everyone recognizes them. Their littlest one has a great name, though. They've called her.
Brian will be able to share.
So anyway, the rough translation is little blonde talk, and that's what she does all day long. Just talk from the time she wakes up till the time she goes to bed. She's a lot of fun. So TJ obviously is our. There he is, right there. He's the helicopter pilot. When he first went there, there were supposed to be 3 helicopter pilots. Mm. Well, one of the guys was supposed to go over around the same time he did, and he ended up getting a job somewhere else, and he ended up not going there. So then it was just TJ and the chief pilot. Well, the chief pilot is now on a year furlough, so now TJ is the helicopter department. And so he's really busy. He got a promotion just because there was nobody else there. So he's kind of running the show now, and he is the chief helicopter pilot. So he's a lot more responsibility than he expected when he first got there as far as doing some managing things and budgets and all that. And so that one way you can pray for him is because he was not expecting all that. And he's still doing all the flying too. And so it's a big job. We did get to go fly with him. I got to sit in the front seat. It was way awesome. Got to fly across the country and see some of that. It was really neat. One of the things that I really like to do and really enjoy when I go to a foreign country is to kind of try and learn a little bit of the language. And the native language there is about 1/3 English, 1/3 Pigden, they call it, and that's basically, if you just add the word pellet to any word, then you can, then it's Pigden right. English. So like if you're counting one pellet, two pellet, three pellet, then of course you got to figure out their accent too. And then 1/3 of who knows where they came up with the words. It was just kind of interesting. One day we were in the going through the grocery store, and so I was reading words and stuff, and one word was Big Bella, and so I had, and it was on this cracker package. So I asked TJ, I go, what's that mean, Big Bella? And he goes, that means big, really, really big, really awesome big. And I'm like, oh, the crackers really weren't that big, but anyway, I learned the word. And so then we just went around and done all that stuff. And then another thing that I really enjoy when I go to another place is just going to the church services of the native people. And we went to a couple of those services. It's always a picture to me of when we get to heaven and we're worshiping God in heaven and all the different languages and all the different cultures. And it's really, really neat. And they're going along and we're singing this one song, and it was Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Big Bella Papa God. And it was just so cool because it's a really, really big God, but then here he is, our Papa too. In their culture, one of the things is it's a lot more relational. Relationships are far more important than getting things done and doing jobs. Mm-hmm. And so their land is handed down from generation to generation. It's called Papa Land. And so they really work on that. And it just really hit me when we were at that singing that song, that how big our God is, but how much he still loves each one of us and watches out for us. It was really cool. There was a lot of stuff that went on. It was really neat. I don't have enough time to tell you everything that happened there, but it was so cool. So one of the things that we did, we were there for 3.5 weeks. It takes like 24 hours from the time you leave till the time you get to Papua New Guinea. It's a long trip. And for some reason, I don't know, maybe because we're going uphill, it takes 30 hours to get back. So anyway, so we got down to Port Moresby. We stayed there a couple nights at the mm-hmm. missionary guest house. And our airplane was supposed to leave from Port Moresby at 6:15 in the morning. And our guy that had brought us over to the missionary house, Mosley, he was supposed to pick us up at 4 a.m. in the morning. And so we got up at 3 o'clock, got breakfast, and got all our stuff. I was ready to go home by then. To be honest with you, I'd been here long enough. I wanted to come home. And I was kind of had myself all psyched up for this 30-hour trip. And so I'm in go-home mode. And come around 4 o'clock, Mosley was supposed to be there. No Mosley. Okay, so that's not too big a deal yet. Quarter after 4, no Mosley. And I'm starting to get a little bit worried at this point in time. 4:30, no Mosley. So like any good Christian man, I immediately blame my wife for lack of planning. That really didn't work that good. So then I'm like, you know, what are you going to do? There's nobody up. We don't have a phone. I did talk to the guards a couple times. They just smiled. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't going that great. And so then about 4:44, here comes Mosley pulling in. So I'm like, all right, let's throw this stuff in the car. We throw the stuff in the car. And he's kind of all apologetic because he knows he's late. So he takes off like a bat out of you-know-where, headed for the airport. At that point, I remembered I needed to pray. And I was praying really hard. And so that we made it safely. And then we got to the airport. And I don't know if you guys ever seen this cartoon. We watched it when we were down there. But these people go, this lady goes, the cop goes to the DMV. And the DMV's run by a bunch of sloths. And it's slow. Well, that's what it was like at the airport. The people were slow. We had some extra baggage. We had to get checked in. We had to get it. Jackie had to go clear across the airport to get it checked in. And that was way slow over there, too. Make a long story short, we finally made it to the gate of the airplane about 15 minutes before it left, which was cutting it way too short for this guy. But we made it. It was fun. We had a great time. A lot of stuff going on. One thing I forgot to mention in the first service was I was talking to one of the natives guys, and they're really, really appreciative of all the missionary work that has gone on and all the specifically said all the missionaries that come from the United States. They actually consider themselves a Christian nation. And he said, the guy that I was talking to, he's a Christian man, and he said they got a lot of stuff to do there yet, But everybody's heard the gospel, he said. And I just thought that was pretty amazing. And you don't always think that you're making a huge impact, but little by little, it does make a huge impact.
Mm.
So TJ had gone to, had been on one Bible dedication. It takes like 20 years to translate one book of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these villages, they don't have any written language. So they have to develop an alphabet, and they have to teach the people how to use the alphabet, how to read, and then they can start translating the Bible and get it right. And it's a huge deal that people really appreciate it when they get them. It's pretty amazing. Probably my one big takeaway from all this was how we need to remember our first love. That's Jesus. I think about that all the time, even like right now when I'm standing up here. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for Jesus coming into my life. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have went to Papua New Guinea to, mm-hmm. of all things, visit my missionary son in mm-hmm. Papua New Guinea. And I just think it's all because Jesus at one time came to me and said, you need me. And he's right, and I did need that. And I think that's a good lesson for me in my life. It's a good lesson for our church. It's a good lesson for them in Papua New Guinea. Because there's people from all over the world there translating the Bible. They don't actually have a denominational church there, because everybody does spend more time arguing about theology than they do about what they're there for. And they're doing a fantastic work, but like I said, it's 20 years in the making. And they just need to, and not that they're bad at this, but I can see the potential for getting so involved in the work. It's a good work, it's an awesome work, but forgetting why you're there, forgetting your first love. And so that was kind of my big takeaway. Just remember Jesus, and I encourage you. These other guys are going to be coming up here. It's awesome. This is a fun Sunday for me to just know how much God's working in our church. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's at work here. That's just mm-hmm. exciting.
Amen. Amen. I love that. You kind of encapsulate our whole vision statement on we don't just go to make an impact. Whatever we do, we're loving Jesus and we're loving others. In that process, we make an impact. And that's what it's all about. So great job, you guys. That's awesome. Let's invite Eidwald's up next. That's Ellingson's. Ellingson's. Brett and Elida. They were in Africa. And so they're going to share. They said it's not kind of like a missions trip in a sense. But you were doing missions work because you were doing the love of Jesus and loving others too and making an impact. So tell us how it went.
We're going to paper, scissors, rock to determine who talks this time. Hey, my daughter and I, Elida, had a special time, and for me, this was unreal. You know, to spend 3 weeks in a foreign country with my daughter, which was fantastic, and she is an amazing travel companion, so she did a wonderful job. We were in Tanzania, hooked up with a group of about 10 of us, I believe, an organization, a nonprofit organization, Hearts and Hands for Humanity, and their mission is to provide fresh water to villages in Tanzania that don't have fresh water, which is a lot. And our focus was when we go into a village, we flew into Mount Kilimanjaro Airport, and from there we went to Arusha, Moshi, and Magugu. And I wanted to get a shirt that said Magugu, but I couldn't find one just because it's so fun to say. Magugu. It was a little village, and we would go into these villages, and we'd ask to speak to the tribal master, and we would ask them if there's a school in their village, and if the answer was yes, we'd say, is there fresh water? The answer would be no, and we'd seek permission to drill. And so Elida and I were involved in actually two wells, and from start to completion, where we'd actually identify the spot, try to get it close to the school. One interesting thing was when we're out, we were look for a bogai tree, which is a deep-rooted tree with big leaves, wide leaves, because that's an indicator that there's water deep down, as well as a termite nest. And some of the termite nests were huge, like 10 by 10, just monstrous, and termites only build above moisture, so that was an indicator as well. Mm-hmm. And so the process of drilling the well, it could be from a few days to about a month and a half. And I'm looking at these pictures as you are. Here's one of the little wells that was completed. This is a little village in Moshi, and it's a pump handle drill. We're about 90 to 120 feet right there, and it's fresh water for these kids. And these kids, on average, have a 3-mile walk to school every day with no fresh water. And so attendance increases dramatically once they have fresh water, because they're able to bring bottles and containers with them to school and take that water home. when we were on site drilling, there would be just villagers that would come up and show appreciation. They really wouldn't understand what was going on until someone would translate. They speak Swahili, along with some tribal language, but Swahili, Hakuna Matata. That's about all I picked up on. Lida picked up much more than that. But here's a slide of just some villagers showing some appreciation, just watching what we're doing. This is a well that we actually hit fresh water. Here's a picture of Elida with a group, and they're drilling. The cool thing about this drill is it doesn't run off diesel or electricity, it's just man-powered, and you're spinning a wheel, and it's got a big boom on the top, and it's weighted heavy enough, and it's got a cardboard bit on the bottom, and there's 3-foot sections of 3.5-inch steel that's threaded, so you'd go down 3 feet, you'd pull up, re-thread, go down, pull up, re-thread. Pretty exciting process just to bring fresh water. And at this site right here, I mean, nearby there's elephants and lions, and so it's the real deal. The little huts that they had, they would use, they wouldn't build fences, but they would use shrubs with big thorns to surround their houses to keep the wild animals out. Mm. One of our highlights for Elida and myself was we visited, this was called Nima Village. It's an orphanage in a community called Arusha. And Nima means grace. I was telling Pastor Mark this, which is pretty cool. And the founders of this were some Americans. The guy was a Lutheran pastor, spent some time in Tanzania in the 60s, raised his family in the States, and then went back. And he's been there, him and his wife, in their late 70s, and they're running this orphanage, which is unreal. And when we were there, there was 53 little babies in the orphanage. And so you just wanted to, just a lot of loving. We're just loving on babies. It was fantastic. Here's a picture of Elida at a school. And these kids were just so appreciative that we were there drilling a well. We provide soccer balls and Hot Wheels and some cool things. And Elida and I had a great time just hanging and playing with kids. I got to go in and visit a couple schools, talk to the schoolmaster and get permission. And they loved us coming in. You know, they're speaking Swahili, but on the dirt floor, draw a picture of the U.S. and distinguish Washington State versus Washington, D.C., and they could identify a couple states as well. Average class was 75 to 85 kids, literally no supplies, but very, very attentive, very polite, and a mixture of Muslim and Christian. Here's a picture of, Elida and I were always just kind of amazed that we'd be working, and all of a sudden these little kids who were very, very independent would just kind of show up on site. Not really sure where they came from, but they were beautiful, beautiful people and very appreciative. We did have an opportunity to go close up by Kenya. It was in Tanzania, but visit the Ngorongoro crater, which is one of the densest populated areas with wild animals on Earth. This is a reserve, so there's no hunting allowed, thank goodness, but we just saw an amazing amount of animals, and I think Elida and I determined that the only animal we didn't see was the rhino, but we saw some amazing, amazing animals.
Okay, no hunting.
This guy's munching on a wildebeest, and like I told first service, we actually got to see a cheetah take down a wildebeest, and that was awesome, and like I said, if you're into that type of stuff, and we were, that was cool. Really cool.
Man.
There's the big guy right there. Mm-hmm. That was close up. So awesome. It was the winter season when we were there, and they've had a lot of rainfall in the last couple of years. So things were just lush, and there was just a lot of animals. But just a fantastic trip. The flight home, we had a 34-hour flight home, and I didn't think I'd ever peel my knees away from my chest, being a tall guy in a little plane. But yeah, we went from Kilimanjaro to Ethiopia to Dublin to LA, missed our flight, and then to Portland. Mm-hmm. So it was a long haul, but what a blessing it was. So that's what we have. Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. You know, that's fantastic. Love hearing, you know, how Elida was able to just share joy and care with kids. You know, sometimes we think, well, it's only, you know, people who can communicate or people who are older, but children and youth of all ages connect with people from all over in different ages, and hanging on to that little baby. She's a soccer player and I'm a soccer coach, you know, so we were talking a little bit about that then, and she was talking about holding the babies and loving on them, and how cool is that? And you said, I think you called her a rock star in the first service. I don't know if I heard that. And how the kids just clamored around her. And, you know, when you're there, you get to share that joy and that love of Jesus. And that's loving on others, you know, and that's that care. So next up is our missions group that went to Mexico. And so this is the bigger team, so they get a little bit more time. And so if you're worried that I'm going to still preach a sermon today, I'm not. Okay, this is the sermon, okay? I don't know if I told you that. And so these guys, you guys are up. Take it away.
And this actually isn't all of our team. We have some people that are out of town. We had 27 of us that went down to Mexico. So it was pretty awesome. And I want to thank you so much for supporting us and going down so we can build a home. And actually, we built two homes. Kind of inadvertently, the other team that went down with us was from Tacoma, and they were building what was a 20 by 20 house, and we were building a 16 by 20 house. But because we had so many people, and they had only 15 people, we sent five guys. We sent my son Josh and my son Caleb, and we sent my nephew Luke and Evan and Kyle Roberts, and they all went over to the other house build. So on the video, you saw two houses. That's because we kind of split our team a little bit and sent them some guys to help them get their house done. Otherwise, they would probably still be building right now. Mm-hmm. So it takes a while to do that. Our house, we got to build for a single mom, and so was the other house, was a single mom as well. And I got to spend some time with her and talk to her. She's a single mom of four kids, and the youngest kid, Danny, is highly, highly autistic and very busy. And we were all moms on deck watching him, especially when he ran towards the outhouse, and we had to hold the door shut to keep him out of the house, because he actually got himself locked in that house at one point and was very traumatic for him and for the rest of us to hear him scream. The mom was pretty amazing because she only had one pair of shoes. And because of the generosity of a family in our church and then of our team, we were able to take her shopping with $1,300 of U.S. money, and which is pretty phenomenal for that. We were able to get them tennis shoes. The kids in Mexico, unless you have tennis shoes, you don't go to school. Unless you have a uniform, you don't go to school. So we were able to get these kids the stuff they need in order to go to school, and I believe supplies as well. We were able to get them some school supplies. We were able to get the mom some things she needed as well as a woman, and which was pretty awesome to hear. She doesn't work. She actually, the dad of the kids, one day just up and left. Just left, was done. Didn't want to be a parent anymore, evidently. And she went to go live with her mom. And in that relationship was a very abusive relationship. She came home, and the mom had severely beat Danny. So she had to leave her mom's place, come back to a little shack that she was living in. You saw the previous pictures. And she's basically on her own. She can't support, she can't hold a job because of Danny being as highly autistic as he is. He demands a lot of attention. And she's got three other kids. So she sells tamales up and down her dirt road. If you saw the picture, if you recall the picture with the people with the umbrellas, that's her dirt road. Oh, wow. And across from her street is a church. So it's pretty awesome. That little red building you saw, that's the church across from her street. So one of the things that amazed me, they had church going on when we were building, and I felt kind of bad because we had our air compressor going right outside the door. But I tell you what, those people were praising Jesus, and I was thinking, how awesome. Our church was at church service here in the States. They were worshiping the same God in Mexico, and the Holy Spirit was moving down there, and it was pretty awesome. And I love that they all went to church in their Sunday best on a horrible dirt road with their umbrellas because it's so hot, and they were dressed to the nines with going to church. It was an awesome experience for us because we were able to provide this mom some things. After the shopping, we had $400 left over that we were able to give the mom in her very first Bible that'll probably sustain her almost a year. So if you think about it, a lot of us make that in a week, a couple weeks. That's her whole year that she could probably survive on if she budges well. So it's pretty amazing that we're able to go down and do that. I'm going to let some of our other team members share. I'm going to start with Levi.
So this was my fourth house build going down to Mexico. Every time, it's just so much fun getting to go down there. You start off, so you go down, you get picked up in vans that don't have AC, because it's a missionary base. And so you get there and you start sweating, and they take you to the market, and you get to see the town, you get to see the people. The culture there is just crazy. No one ever sleeps. And especially the tuba guy next to the base, because it's tuba. And so we get to go to the market, and you get to see a lot of the poverty there, and it's mind-blowing how much we have. And when you're driving around, one of the things that I always thought was really interesting is you get to see all the different houses that different teams have built, you know, just because they're all brightly painted and so it like stands out a lot. And the house where the second team built that I wasn't on, it was like a Homes of Hope neighborhood. There was about 15 houses that were built by Homes of Hope in one little area. And that was just so cool to see because all the families, they knew, once they saw those trucks rolling up, they knew someone was getting blessed with the house.
Mm.
That's always an awesome experience to be part of that. Mm-hmm.
So I was on the 16 by 20 house with the bigger group, and we got done pretty quick. I found myself, though, this was my third build, and I learned something new every time, and I found that I was getting absorbed in the work rather than, you know, focusing on loving the people around me. And so I was in charge of measuring and cutting the wood, which they probably shouldn't have put me in charge. Amy and I messed up. And I helped do the electrical. And I finally just took a step back and got to see there was like 10 other kids that weren't the mom's kids. They were just neighbor kids that just came and they wanted to help. They weren't like jealous that their neighbors were getting a house or electricity. They just wanted to get there. This little girl really wanted a tool belt, and so we wrapped it around her like twice so it would fit and fastened it. And they just wanted to do something, and they were just joyful about it. And it's just refreshing to see that I got probably more out of it than I'd say the family got out of it, because I saw the lack of pride that the family, that the other families had of this family, and how there's so much pride in America that as soon as your neighbor did something, you know, you need to get something to upstage them. It was just so awesome to see an example of how we should act from somebody who doesn't have as much as we do.
And to add on to what Walker said, one of the kids that came to help build actually received a Homes of Hope a few months prior. So that's how the culture is down there. They come alongside, and they're, like I said, they're so excited that someone else is getting a home. Even on the other house build, one of the people who had a house told the workers, hey, anytime the kids want to come into my house, come on in. I'll give them something to drink. So they're very warm and welcoming down there.
I can take over. So on the second day of the build, I got to go on the shopping trip with the family, and it was an experience. I am a mom with four kids. I don't think I've ever actually gone to the store with all four of my kids or without my husband. So it was beautiful chaos in a way. We had probably 5-6 shopping carts lined up. Some of the girls each took one of the kids and kind of helped make sure they stayed with us. It was a very long trip. I think we were there 2-3 hours. And when you have a young autistic boy, there was so much stimulation and so much to overwhelm. It was crazy, but it was so nice to be able to see this chain of shopping carts through the store loading up with fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, meat, just everything this family could need. There was a group that had gone off, I think without mom knowing, and picked up supplies for her tamales. So she's got supplies now to sustain her business. The oldest girl, she got deodorant, and she was thrilled. Something we take for granted, you know, personal hygiene items. You know, she was beaming because she actually had her own deodorant. She was able to get some other supplies that we all kind of take for granted. Just going through the store, we were stopped several times by people that were like, oh, you guys build the houses, and they were aware of Homes of Hope. And so knowing that there's such a presence in that community, that we're reaching out and touching so many lives and getting that opportunity to open those doors to those families, and just being able to share God's love and our blessings and everything was amazing. I do want to piggyback on the thing about the neighbor kids coming out. Lily, at one point, I looked up and there were a little neighbor girl there, and they had hijacked my phone and running around taking pictures and selfies. And she had told me, she goes, you know, even though we don't speak the same language, we talked. Mm. And I think it's amazing that, you know, there's not these barriers. And, you know, I think they shared about, you know, experiences in Africa, the same thing. You know, it goes beyond the words we say. We can connect in so many other ways.
Mm. That's so great.
And that's what the beauty thing, people know when the Homes of Hope come in, and even when we were crossing back into the States, the Border Patrol, that was what I was like, mm-hmm. service, mm-hmm. the Border Patrol even recognized our group, and he said to my oldest son, Josh, because he was the first one that went through, he's like, are you that group that came and built houses? He's like, that is so cool. So even the Border Patrol knows that people are going in and to pour into this community, which I thought was really cool.
Okay, so this was my second time actually going to Mexico. My first time was actually with the youth group here at this church a little over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that time, my experience was more, I did a Sunday school thing and I had more of the experience with kids. And I was amazed with communication. You don't speak the same language, but you're still communicating. This time, what impacted me was more about the culture. There were some cool moments with the family, like memorable moments was when we were all out painting and the littlest girl, who was like 2, was sitting on the side and someone had given her some paint, and we turned around the next few minutes and she had painted herself completely.
Oops.
Another moment was at the grocery store. We'd gotten through the majority of the grocery section, which was about halfway, and the oldest daughter stopped and gave her mom a huge hug, and they were just really happy. So it was cool to see the joy that they had from that. One thing that I saw that I don't know if anybody else noticed, but when we were pulling up in the bus, you could see we were like up on these hills, and then a couple hills over was where the house was. And I didn't know that, but, you know, I was watching out the window and I saw these kids running up this hill, and I'm like, I bet you that's where we're going. And they were all running, super excited for us to be coming. So that was something neat to see too. But my experience, what impacted me this time was watching how these people are in that country and how they have respect for other people. They're not materialistic like people are here. And it's not this rush and go and race to be perfect and everything. And people are just happy with what they have there. And so to me, it kind of made me think more about that and about just things like that. You know, like going to Walmart with the family. I really don't like going to Walmart here because everybody's so pushy and it's crazy. But there, it was probably 5 times busier than any time I've ever been here. There were carts backed up, like 10 carts back. Mm. And everybody was respectful and kind and just waiting in line. And it's like, wow, I really wish it was like that at home. Mm. And they drive like mad there, yet there's people walking down the middle of the highway selling stuff. And so there's a respect of people. One day we went to the beach and we're coming back and there's this guy flying around the corner in his car and all the kids are walking across, and I'm kind of stressed because I'm thinking, oh, he's gonna get upset. He just stops, he's chill, it's all fine. Mm-hmm. You know, and we go across the street and everything's fine. So it's interesting because, you know, I just moved up to Tumwater and it's just like rat race up there. And so it really kind of did a number on me going, because, like, you know, the first day we're doing the build, I'm just like, oh my goodness, it's so hot, I'm so tired, I just can't wait to go home. And then by the day that we were going home, I kind of didn't want to go home. So it was really cool experience, and for me, it impacted me and made me think I would like to be more like them and not get so caught up in
our daily lives here and try to be more caring about connections with people. So that was my experience.
So this is my second house build, and some really good memories was like when we were done painting like the house and stuff, and we were working on the inside, like a lot of the little other neighbors and stuff would want to help. So they would grab different colors of paint and just start painting rainbows on the wall. And so then we had to go back and repaint it. Another good memory was when we were doing the dedication part, we would give them the keys, they would walk in the house, we would like close the door, and like you could just hear them all screaming and for joy and stuff, and finally getting to have the house that they would want, and beds to sleep on.
That's cool.
And so this was my second build. We built, that was about 4 years ago on our first one, and my experience this time was a little bit different than the last time. I actually wasn't there for the second day, the dedication day, which is kind of a bummer because that's when all the excitement's there. But this year I had to be back on Monday for work, and so I was just there for Sunday. And it's a crazy day. You start at 7:30 in the morning, and I don't like the heat, so it's kind of a bad spot for me to go, but it's not about that. It's about the experience. So we rolled out about 8:30. We're there on the site building all day till 5:30. I actually had to catch a flight that night, so we come back 5:30, grab some food, and headed off to the airport, crossing the border. And crossing the border can sometimes be tricky for me. My name pops up on some registries, and I can't get there. But I catch a 10:30 flight. I make it home 12:30, jump in my car, drive back from Portland, get home at 3, drive to work at 6 in the morning. And I have patients and staff going, "Why did you do it?" You know, and I said, "There's just no way I can miss this." If you've ever experienced being part of a team where you get to go out and serve something bigger than yourself, there's no way that you can miss it. And so then, you know, a couple of the other things that were just, when you're there and you hear things such as this house, they don't build houses down there like we do. When you're driving through the community and you see houses and they're built at all different stages, you look and there's like a wall here and then eventually there's a wall there. When we build houses here, we go to the bank, we get a loan, it gets built, and we move in the day that it's done. Down there, it doesn't work that way. They pay for it with cash along the way. And so the problem is these houses take 15 years to build. And then you look at the situation like this where I say we, because the whole church was involved, we got to bless this family, single mom, 4 kids, 15 years to build a house. I'm going, never. She would have never been able to build a house in there in the way they do it. And in a day and a half, we got to bless this family. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, you know, and as I woke up this morning, as you know, a little tired, kind of hang out in bed a little bit for a second, knowing that we were going to be talking about this today, and I just thought about it. And this family got to do the same thing. This whole family, prior to this, you saw the pictures. You know, they had a mom and 4 kids sleeping in one bed. You know, we don't even think about stuff like that. Kitchen outside. And as I'm laying there and thinking about it this morning, going, they got to wake up in their own house, in their own bed. Kids had the bunks that you got to see. I mean, how cool is that we get to give? And every single morning they wake up and they get to feel God in their house. And so that was pretty awesome. So, was there something else in the first one? That's pretty much it. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I was leaving him the open.
Wow. Not much to add to all of that. And I don't see Brian and Jack here, but there's a link from Papua New Guinea. Andy also had the same name, Little Blonde Tok Tok, on our bill. Okay, I'll pay for that. No. Anyway.
Blame your wife.
No, it was amazing to build with this team, just the relationships. And you've heard the stories, you know, and I think it's emotional. I'm still processing the why and the what, and you know, what does God see?
you know, when we're there working, what's his perception, what's my perception? We are so blessed, we have so much, and we worry about things that are not a worry, you know. Families sweeping on Sunday, they're sweeping their dirt floors on whatever they're living in, and the kids are their best dressed, and they're proud, and you see joy, and it's just truly, truly amazing. So what a great experience, and you heard also, we felt, and we know that this is because of Grace Church. We were there, you supported us, you made this happen, and we were, you know, that the church, the blessing this church is, keeps coming to my mind as well. It's just wonderful to be a part of this family. So thank you all.
Amen. Great job, you guys. Woo! You know, the vision of our church is to invite everyone, right, to love Jesus, love others, and make an impact. You don't have to go 2,000 miles, 5,000 miles to do that. You can go across the street. You can go across the shop. You can go across the cubicles. Wherever you work, you can go there and make a difference by just reaching out, being kind, and showing the love of Jesus, taking that step. Jesus said, go therefore make disciples of all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them to obey, teaching them everything I've taught you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We later hear the words to go into the world, right? To go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Do you know where the uttermost parts of the world is? Right here. This is about as far out from Israel as you can get, okay? And that's here. So God wants you and me to keep it up. Every day, we're looking for that opportunity. How am I a missionary? How am I a witness? How are you doing it, keeping it going? You know, you don't have to be a principal, but that's pretty exciting to see one of our school principals, two of our principals from our community involved in our church and going out into this world, a dentist, right? Husband's a sheriff and he let you go. You know, I mean, a police officer, he let you go, right? I always get that mixed up. He was a sheriff, now he's a sheriff's police officer. You know, and we've got people doing stuff, making a difference. That's our community. And if you're new to this community, I encourage you to get plugged in, connected here, because there's a lot of people that are wanting to love on Jesus and share it across the world. Let's pray and we'll send you out with grace. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you work in our lives. And from being a child to reaching out to another child to being an adult and learning how to swing a hammer and just smile and share the love of Jesus. Lord, you work in us in ways to make a difference in this world. Keep doing that, Lord. Help our ears to be attentive to you leading us to show kindness, even in Walmart. Wherever we go, help us to show kindness and to show love. Lord, that we might be the kind of people that reflect that Jesus is alive in us. Now may we go in grace, and may we be used by you to impact our world for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go in grace.